person. Important is that we say, number one, is that Holy Spirit will only lead you through your spirit man, not through your flesh, not through your intellect. Your flesh, your intellect was given to you to contact this natural world, to deal with natural things. But once it is spiritual things, they are not too useful. You don't contact the spirit world with them. That's what, like I said, that's why you don't see them, because you don't hear the spirit world. You know? The spirit can hear and don't see them, but you don't use this to see them. So the spirit of God is not going to deal with you through your flesh. He's going to deal with you through your spirit, man, which is the spirit with whom he has fellowship. So he's going to lead you through your inner man. Then do not seek voices. Please do not seek to hear voices. Demons will accommodate you. They can make you lose your mind. They can destroy you. Do not do stuff like that. Don't get into what God didn't promise you. God promised us guidance. They didn't so promise us how. He only teaches us how he leads, but he decides how he leads and how he guides us. So don't seek voices, please. And don't seek external manifestations like to say, I want to see vision, I want to do this. The demons will accommodate you. Because they know you're walking outside the cross first. They will accommodate you. Please don't do that. Don't do that. Stay confident in the faithfulness of God to guide you the way he chooses. To guide
in 1 John 5, 10. He who believes in the Son of God has witness in himself. Most of this guidance is in yourself, by your spirit within you. So don't look outside. The normal way he will guide us every day, whether you're in the market, it's by that witness inside of your spirit. You know, he's not going to guide you, show you a dream when you're in the market. So it guides you through that witness inside of you. Now, there's a very central point I just want to remind us of here. Romans 8:12. It says, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. We don't have any obligation to do what our sinful nature urges us to do. And that sinful nature is always wanting to urge us to do something. But the Bible says we don't have to do what it wants us to do. Verse 13, for if you live by its dictates, if you follow your spirit, you will die. Death in this sense means you'll be cut off from fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You'll be cut off, separated from fellowship with the Holy Spirit. But that is easy to understand. Because if you are doing evil, doing what God is not involved in, there's no way you can share fellowship with God in that circumstance. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. So you see, the only way you can put to death, the only way you can handle the deeds of this sinful nature, it's not just by willing. To will is important. You have to will, you have to want. But that's not enough. With Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So it is through the power of the Spirit. Through the power of the Spirit. Brethren, through the power of the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature. When you do that, then you will live. Then verse 14 tells us what happens. When you refuse to follow your sinful nature and put that nature, those desires to death, verse 14, say for. For means continuation of what he's saying in verse 13. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. When you and I put to death these desires of the sinful nature, then we can now follow, because that's the way the children of God live their life. They follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Now, well, how do you activate this power that's talking about? You know that the only way you can activate God's power is by faith. There's no other way you activate it, is by faith. And so the scripture tells us what to believe. In Galatians 5:24, and those who belong to Christ Jesus, the Messiah, have crucified the flesh. Have crucified the flesh. It didn't say they are going to. They have crucified the flesh. They have already the godless human nature, which is with its passion and appetites and desires. It says has already been crucified. So if you want to see that power activated, you've got to believe what God is telling you, that the power has achieved for you in Christ Jesus. You know, the reason I'm reminding us this is that we need to take care of this so we can follow the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we'll be confused. We'll be confused. We need to take care of this. We need to understand how to deal with your flesh, deprive it of its desires, and deprive it of trying to control you. So you can now always follow the Holy Spirit. If you don't know how to do this, you'll be jumping between two opinions. Get totally discouraged. Really get discouraged. And things won't turn out all the way it should be turning out. So we must take this very, very seriously. That the scripture says that those who belong to Christ Jesus, the Messiah, have crucified the flesh, the godless human nature, with its passions and appetites and desires. So how do I get this to work? This power that has done this, Christ, the power of God, has crucified that. Because the scripture said that on the cross, Jesus crucified the sin. The power of sin was destroyed. And so how do I do this? I have to believe actually that I'm born again. Because God did this when he cut off the old nature, our old nature, when we came to Christ. The old nature of sin, the spiritual part of us, the old nature of sin, God cut it off. Cut it off, circumcised us by circumcision, not done with human hand, but done by the Spirit of God. And then gave us the life of Christ. Jesus said, I came to give you this life. So now we have this new nature of God, and we have this life of God in us. We are done with sin in the spirit. Remember, when you got born again, your flesh didn't change. There was no change in your flesh. Because the born-again experience is not about your flesh, it's about your spirit, which lives even when the body dies, the spirit goes to heaven. So the new man is set free from the nature of sin. So in your spirit, this nature of sin is gone. It's no more there, it's cut off. And what replaces is the nature of God. And that's why the Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's own handwork, his workmanship. That's what God did. Recreated in Christ Jesus. You and I have been recreated in Christ Jesus. It's called born anew. Born anew. That we may do those good works which God predestined. So we are born anew. But this new man can now do those good works which God has predestined. Remember, it's not your life. It's the life of God. Is the life of Jesus in you. So Paul said, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we live by faith in this new life that Christ gave us. Christ in us is the hope of glory. Every Christian must understand what being born again means. We can't just be talking it and saying it without believing what it means in reality, so that we begin to experience the benefit of the new life that Christ gave us. Being born again means that you are born in spirit. He that is born of the spirit is spirit. Your spirit is born again, recreated. You have a new life. That life has no sin in it. It has the nature of God. It has the life of God. The old nature of sin has been circumcised and cut off, crucified. So we have a new life that has the nature of God in it, the life of God in it, so that through this new man now, we can now live this life of Christ, which God planned that we should live like him, that we should follow his footsteps, that we should be his disciples. Now, you see, to put on the new man again, just going through this, so you know, understand how you deal with your flesh, so you can follow the spirit. To put on the new man, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he will be. Remember, all the issues of life come from the heart. They come from the heart. So if you believe wrongly, your life will be wrong. If you believe correctly, your life will be correct. If you believe that you are a new creature, that old things are passed away, that the nature of sin has been cut off according to the testimony of Scripture, and that you have the life of Christ in you, you have the nature of Christ in you, that's what will begin to happen in your life. Because as a man thinketh, so he will be. But if you think naturally, you will always see yourself from natural point of view, then the carnal man will rule you. Guidance of the Holy Spirit will not be effective in your life. It will not be. You can come to church, sit quiet, act quiet, which is part of all these kind of things. Act quiet, but you know that you are. You haven't changed at all. You just haven't changed. And there's a struggle going on, which means you are not able to follow the spirit man. You are not able to live the new life. So guidance of the Holy Spirit will be very a little difficult for you. So to put on, the Bible says we should put on the new man. But you remember, it's not a physical action. They're like, I'm going to take my shirt and put on a shirt. It's not a physical action. It's an action of faith that I have to believe that I'm a new man. I think new man. Then I live new man. I think old man. I live old man. For all out from my heart comes all the issues of my life. As I think, so I am. If I'm an old man and I live the old nature, and all that, all I think is old nature, all the old nature, or human being, and all that. That's what I will live. I will follow the dictates of that nature. But if I think spirit being, eternal life, anything spiritual is eternal. Eternal life, born again, I'm born a spirit man. I'm born a spirit man. I have the nature of God. I have the life of God. If you think that, it becomes the dominant thought of your life and the way you see yourself, then you are putting on the new man. You are putting on the new man. And the new man will be manifesting without your effort, because it's not your life, it's the life of Christ. It's Christ in you, manifesting without your effort. So that's what the scripture tells us in Ephesians 4:22. Throw off your old sinful nature. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. How do I do that? Verse 23, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts. You see? Renew your thoughts and attitude. When your thoughts is renewed, your attitude is renewed. But start thinking this new thing. I'm a new creature. Start thinking new life. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So we've dealt with that. So when we begin to think new man, then it's easy for you to now follow the Holy Spirit as a guide you through your new man. It will be very easy, very, very easy to understand and be able to follow all this guidance of the Holy Spirit that we're discussing. And remember that it is so beneficial. Even those of us who are in business, I keep saying it, if you're in business, you're a manager, whatever, if you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, that business will prosper beyond your measure, but I mean beyond your imagination. What God can do is, he says, I do things that you can't even think or imagine about. That's what he does. He will take that business to the level, and they will surprise all those people around you who don't know God. And you'll be the figure they all want to hear about from, because you are bringing some dimensions that they can't explain, but they see the result. In our life, even in marriage, God will guide you in that. Training your children, he will guide you in that. He will guide you in everything, every affair of life. So that's why it's important to know how to put this competing part of us, the flesh, where it belongs, so we can have proper fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Now, having said that, now let's talk about, remind ourselves about the three major ways that God guides us daily. Like I said, If you're waiting for manifestations like dream, and then you have to decide something in the market, are you going to wait until you have dream in the market so God will show you what to do? No. These three things are the way he guides all of us. Everywhere we are, whether we're in the market, in the street, he guides us through these three major ways. There are other ways which we're going to talk about, but I want to remind us, number one is the Holy Scriptures. Number two is this inner witness of the Holy Spirit, that we either have peace or disquiet. Either there is peace or disquiet. Philippians 4:7. And God's peace shall be yours. That tranquil state of his soul, assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Garrison and mount guard, that peace guards your heart. In Colossians 3:15, I'm reading Amplified. It says, and let the peace, the soul harmony, which comes from Christ. You see, it comes from Christ. Comes from the Holy Spirit in you. He imparts that peace in you as a way of guiding you. Imparts that peace in you. From Christ, rule, act as umpire continually in your heart, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds. In that peaceful state, to which as members of Christ's one body, you were all called to live and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. See, he said, let this peace be umpire, be the umpire, guide you in everything continually. So if you don't have peace, this inner peace, I'm not talking, your head can be going bonkers, can be going too much, but you have this peace. You may not be able to put your finger on it, because this peace passeth all understanding. It doesn't come from your understanding. It comes from Christ, who knows everything. It comes from the Holy Spirit, who knows tomorrow. But you can be sweating, but that peace is right there. The Bible says it garrisons your heart. It's right there. The world can't take it away. That's what Jesus said. Can't take it away. Because it came. It's right there. You have this. It's like a strong inner feeling in your spirit. Not in your body. Not in your body. Inner feeling. Not from your head. A strong inner feeling. Deep feeling of peace that you have about something. It's not a physical feeling. But it's a spiritual thing. It's a supernatural thing. It's not spectacular, but it's supernatural, because it's the Holy Spirit that is giving you that peace that passeth all understanding. So that's one way we said that he leads us. Number two is, you know, you just know something. You just know this thing is not for me. You just know it. You just simply know it. You can't explain, but you just know this is not for me. This is not for me. It's not coming from any intelligent something. It might even look foolish, but you just know this is not for me. Everybody say, but they lose good. But you know inside of you that this is not for me. In 1 Corinthians 2:11, for what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. So your spirit knows the things of you. So your spirit knows. Your spirit knows. He will know this. He will let you know. Because your spirit is the one that communicates to your mental realm, because it's your spirit. It's your spirit. The Holy Spirit communicates to him. It communicates to your mental realm, and you know it. And you begin to decide, no, this is not going to work. You know? So you just know. You just simply know. It's called perception. You have spiritual perception. You can perceive. You can know. But perceiving is to know something outside of your natural mental realm. It's to know something supernaturally. You just perceive this thing, that this is like that. So it's spiritual perception, is knowing. The number three, which I want to handle, is your conscience. The Holy Spirit guides us through our conscience. Romans 9:1, I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience, enlightened and prompted by the Holy Spirit, bearing witness with me. You see, the Holy Spirit bearing witness through my conscience. Bearing witness through my conscience. Bearing witness through my conscience. King James says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Spirit bears witness through our conscience. Now, before we proceed on this, let me sound a note that so we don't attribute to the Holy Spirit what it doesn't do. Well, in this guidance of our conscience, I want you to know that the Holy Spirit will never condemn you. The Holy Spirit will never condemn you. Will never accuse you. Never. It is your own spirit that convicts you. Your own spirit will not even condemn you, will not accuse you. Accusation of Christians is the work of Satan. He's the accuser of brethren. He accuses us before God day and night. Christ justifies us by his blood. He paid for our sins. He justifies us. Now, this doesn't mean you just go and be committing sin and say, Christ justifies me. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that the Holy Spirit is not here to condemn you, because Christ already paid the price for our sins. But through your spirit will bring you conviction. So you repent. So you change. So you come out from what you are doing. There are other ways that God will help us to stop what we are doing, but that's not what I'm focusing on today. But I'm just on this conscience guidance, that the Holy Spirit will not condemn you. But if you are a Christian and you are continuing in sin, you know that you are going to pay the price down the line. You are going to run into situations that if you don't learn by wisdom, you will learn by experience, one of them. So, but as focusing on the guidance through our conscience, the Holy Spirit will not condemn a Christian, neither will he accuse a Christian, but your spirit that knows everything about you will convict you that this is wrong through your conscience. Through your conscience. Look at John 3:17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. God did not send Jesus to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So the Holy Spirit cannot be doing something contrary to what Jesus came to do. Because Jesus said, I will send you another like me. So the Holy Spirit does not condemn us. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God has not appointed us to incur his wrath. He did not select us to condemn us, but that we might obtain his salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he did not appoint us for wrath, did not appoint us for condemnation, but that we obtain salvation and then we repent. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. God wants us to repent. He doesn't want us to continue to follow the flesh, because it will cut off fellowship with him and will bring us into experience that we don't want. Experience that we don't want. So, but that doesn't mean that God doesn't care if we are doing something that's wrong. No, he cares, because he will teach you the word. Like I said, there are other ways he talks to us about, like scripture now. Talking to us through scripture, but it's not going to condemn you. You read your scripture will show you true light. Light reveals something. The light of the scripture will come and reveal to you that this thing you are doing is wrong. You can hear somebody teach it in the Sunday school, or teach it in the life center, or teach it from the pulpit. So he uses scripture, but like I said, I'm focusing now on this guidance by conscience. So God does not condemn us, but he guides us through our spirit, through our own conscience. So our spirit is the one that convicts is to show you what you are doing wrong, but will not condemn you, because you know to condemn is to pass judgment. It's to condemn a criminal. Say he's condemned. It's to die or to go to jail. God gives you a chance to change and to repent. So God guides us through our conscience. Now, I want to look at our conscience. How trustworthy is our conscience as guide? Well, we need to see what the Bible says. There are three types of consciences that we hold. One is a good conscience. The other one is evil conscience. The other one is weak conscience. So we're going to quickly look at these three types of consciences. First of all, the good conscience. Now, is our conscience trustworthy as a guide? Yes, if you have good conscience. Yes, if you have good conscience. Yes, it's conditional on the type of conscience you have. Now, what is good conscience? Good conscience is the conscience of a spiritual Christian. A spiritual Christian. A Christian who is being led, who is living the spirit life. Who is being led by the word of God. That's a good conscience. Now, Acts 23. And 1 Peter 3:16. I think Acts 23 verse 1. Okay, Acts 23 verse 1. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. I've lived in good conscience is that I have been sensitive to follow guidance of God, obey God instantly, repent instantly, forgive instantly, not dragging it, drag it one month before you forgive." That's good conscience. A conscience that is very sensitive to the will of God. That's a good conscience. He said, Paul said, "I have lived in all good conscience before God, before God, before God, before God, until this day." And that's where we should live our lives. 1 Peter 3:16. having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile you, your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. You see, a good conscience, they insult you and everything, you don't insult back. That's a good conscience. Having a good conscience that respects God, that leaves the judgment, everything to God. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Leave it to God. Leave it to God. That's a good conscience. It's a matured Christian, a spiritual Christian, a spirit-filled, a spirit-led Christian. The flesh has no portion in what he's doing. Flesh has no portion in what he's doing. So the conscience of such a Christian is a good guide. It's a good guide. And let's look at a mature Christian's conscience. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God, knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. You see, the good, a spiritual, mature Christian walks in love. That's why Peter said, if they insult you, you don't insult back. You walk by love. You know, love, humility go together. Proud people cannot love because they must get their own back. You talk to me, I talk to you. That's flesh. They are being led by their flesh. They are not mature Christians. They are not spiritual Christians. They are very unspiritual Christians. So a spiritual Christian is led by love, for God is love. The life of God is active in him. The new life he has put on the new man. He puts on the new man. So the love of God is very active in him. Romans 13:10. Love does no wrong to others. See? So love fulfills the requirement of God's law. Love does not do wrong to anybody. Does not commit evil. Love does not commit evil. We think that love is feeling. Yeah, it can have feelings, but love is really an action of the Spirit of God manifesting the life of Christ. God is love, manifesting that new man, that new nature in you, the nature which is love. In which case, you do not, even if they do evil to you, you don't. That's what Peter is saying. They do evil to you, but you don't do evil back. But what do we find in the body of Christ? You talk to me, I talk to you. You know, people are 10 years Christian, 18 years Christian. They're just talking like, you know. So, Acts 7:16, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he has said this, he fell asleep. This is a brother being that's put on Christ. He's put on the new nature of love. This is a conscience that is good. This is a conscience that can be a guide to a Christian. Now let's talk of the unreliable conscience. This is the unreliable conscience that is not good to guide you because you can accommodate anything. You can accommodate anything. You can insult people. You can gossip, tell lies. It doesn't bother you. Your anger can come. You say all manner of stuff. Your way is the highway. You must listen to. You are just body rude, carnal Christian, baby Christian. You are not walking in love. You're not putting on the new man. Your conscience is not a good guide. Because it will accommodate anything, and it doesn't even bother you. You lie and lie some more. It doesn't bother you, no? So how can your conscience be a good guy? No, it's not a good guy. 1 Corinthians 3:1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. See? So he said, I can't talk to you as spiritual people. So how can your conscience be good enough for guidance? Even Paul is saying, I can't even talk to you people as spiritual people. So verse 2, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. See? So the conscience of a baby Christian is not good enough. It's just like natural children. Their conscience is not good enough. And so you could not receive it. And even now you are still not able, verse 3, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, you see, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? You are living the natural physical life, mere men. For when one says, I'm of Paul, Another, I'm of Apollos. Are you not carnal? So the conscience of a carnal Christian is not good enough. It's just not good enough. Look at the evil conscience now we're talking about that comes under this carnality. Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. What is this evil conscience? A conscience that will not believe the word of God. Will always perpetually live in doubt, wants to see before he believes, doesn't have time. The word of God is not in him or her. This conscience is not good enough. It's called evil. It's called evil conscience. It can't believe the word of God. It's not going to listen to the word of God. It will always follow mentality, intelligence and mental things and all this kind of stuff. Now, look at under evil conscience, 1 Timothy 4:2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with hot iron. These are people who manipulate God's word to suit their selfish purpose. Once you start talking to them, they start quoting scriptures, trying to manipulate people. They won't even let another person talk. Even some pastors do that. They use scripture to manipulate the church, manipulate their congregation, make them do what they want. In the home, you find people who use scripture to manipulate their husbands. Some use scripture to manipulate their wives. Some use scripture to manipulate their children. You know, I was reading, Paul wrote to the church, he said, God watches our heart. He said, we should not do things out of this impure motive of getting self-advantage over people. That God watches our heart all the time. He does. He watches my heart. When I talk to my wife, when I talk to my children, when I'm preaching, God sees my heart. He knows the motive behind it all. He understands it, not telling him anything. So there are people who use scripture to manipulate people. They speak lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with hot iron. And they are so used to not to listen to God that their conscience is dead. You know how you have calcification, your skin, when you're walking with tools, those are for, you know, people who walk with tools and something, and at that point your skin gets calcified, totally calcified. So it becomes insensitive to some. To that pressure that you put on it. But somebody who tries it for the first time, will have this place will be red and it's so painful. So that's why that when you neglect God for a long time, your conscience dies. I don't know how anybody can choose that. So this is an evil conscience. Then the weak conscience, let's talk about the weak conscience. Those who are other-directed people, they are also baby Christians. They can't take a stand. They don't know much. They don't know much. 1 Corinthians 8:9. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Verse 10. For if any man sees thee with which has knowledge sit at meat, in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? You see, because he sees somebody eating in a place where offered to idols, he starts eating. It's other directed. Can't take a stand. I say, I'm not doing this thing. I'm not going to do this. Good conscience will take a stand, guided by the principles of God. But you see these other directed people, they follow the crowd. They hear it's happening here, they follow. They don't even know anything. Once they see somebody, because he did it, I'm going to do it now. They're here, they're all over the place. Weak, this type of weak conscience. If you are serving with them in the ministry, because you didn't do, am I the only one? If they're not doing, I'm not doing. You have weak conscience. You're a baby Christian. You don't understand what it means to serve Jesus. He died for you, gave his all. What did you do for him? A mature Christian will serve regardless of what others are doing because he's serving Jesus. He's serving Jesus. He is serving Jesus regardless of What, if you leave the whole work, he will do it alone. He's serving Jesus. So we know that, again, the another way the Holy Spirit guides us, he speaks to us, you know, the voice of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can speak to you internally. You can hear his voice, but it's not always. Please be careful. It's not always. 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 And some people can hear audible voice of God, but not always. And you may not hear the audible voice of God the whole of your life. So don't bother about that. Don't, please, 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 don't bother about these ones. They do happen, but maybe once in a once lifetime. It may not happen if in anybody's. It may not happen in your life, but you have these other three ways it guides you. You have the inner witness of peace. You have the scripture that uses to guide you. You know, you have the perception. These ones walk, they walk all the time. Don't bother about voices. I'm pleading with you people. Don't bother about voices. Please. Some people give testimony, God spoke to them audibly. Praise the Lord with them, but leave it alone. Just continue in the ones that the scripture reveals to us. You will be safe. You'll be safe because demons have ruined a lot of lives because they are seeking guidance out of scripture. Now, there are other ways that God will guide us, supernatural ways he will guide us, that is now incorporated in the manifestations of the Holy Spirit that we're going to begin to discuss along the line as we discuss the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, we're going to see how guidance comes through the manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But again, this guidance is not always all the time. But it's good to know that, yes, you can receive guidance through these supernatural manifestations of the Holy Spirit, like dreams, like visions, and things like that. But it's not always it's not always like that. So, but we have to know them, that they do happen, and because that's not the only purpose of these gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to find the other purposes of it. And so we're balanced in knowing them. And then if you know them, and then you keep getting to recognize the ones that even manifest in your life. Because if you don't know them, when the Spirit of God begins to manifest it, you may not cooperate with it, and the thing will stop. So it's important that we know this, that there are other guidance coming. That's why I bunch it together as we go over now to study the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the other ways that God will guide us. But like I said, these gifts are not just for guidance only. They are for many other things that God is doing. Now, I want us to know this. The manifestations of the Holy Spirit is not your manifestation. It is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It didn't say the manifestation of a man. So it's not what you can switch on and switch off when you like. It's what the Holy Spirit does himself through you. And he controls what he wants to do. You don't tell him what to do. In 1 Corinthians 12:11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing it to each one individually as he wills, as he wills, as he wants. You don't dictate to him what to do. You don't. He's you are not his boss. He chooses people. He chooses what to do through you. So it's not you. You can't say you want to prophesy. Start prophesying. Want to. People who do that are outside the scripture. It's at the Holy Spirit wills. It's when he wants to use you, he will use you. And use you the way he wants to use you. So it's not a manifestation of a man. It's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Now, God does not want us to be ignorant concerning these manifestations of his Spirit in our lives. Because he wants us to know what he's doing with us so we can benefit fully from those things he's doing. He's not just doing it for doing sake. There are benefits to you as a Christian. In fact, to tell you up front, most human problems are solved by manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Easily solved by manifestations of the Holy Spirit. So there are benefits to accruing to you and to me by the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. So God doesn't want us to be ignorant of them. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, or even that verse should be really concerning things of the Holy Spirit. Concerning things of the Holy Spirit. Because that chapter 12 is not talking only about spiritual gifts. It's not talking only about scripture. It's also talking about being baptized into Christ and becoming a member of the body of Christ. That becoming a member of the body of Christ is not a spiritual gift. It's not a spiritual gift. So it should be concerning things about the Holy Spirit, the things about the Holy Spirit. But spiritual gifts is also a part of the things the Holy Spirit does. I mean, I'm talking of, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you read it, then you find that it's talking of spiritual gifts. It's also talking about being members of the body of Christ, being baptized into Christ and becoming a member of the church. So it's talking about generally what the Holy Spirit does in the church and through people. But here, spiritual gifts is what we are focusing on. So now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. So God doesn't want us to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. Now, the reason he doesn't want to be ignorant is that the devil is faking it. You know, brethren, you can't go around and see a $9 bill. The reason we see a $9 bill is because there's no $9 bill. The thing that is faked is something that exists. Because the spiritual gifts are real, the devil is faking it and deceiving people. In 2 Corinthians 11, 12, but I will continue doing what I have always done. This will undercut those who are looking for an opportunity to boast that their work is just like ours. These people are false apostles. These people are false apostles. They are deceitful workers who disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. 14. But I am not surprised. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no wonder that his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. In the end, they will get the punishment their wicked deeds deserve. So you see that the devil disguises as an angel of light, and his servants also disguise also as a servants of Christ. So there is so much deceit going on, and who manifest this fake, they manifest the same things. They manifest these things, but there is demonic manifestations. And so the Bible says, I don't want you to be ignorant. So you know which one is coming from God and which one is coming from Satan. Now, look at this. Luke 4:41. Brethren, hear the devil preach. People say, oh, if it's Satan, it doesn't call Jesus. Who told you so? Listen to Luke 4:41. And the devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. This is the devil preaching. Preaching, thou art Christ, the Son of God. Is it not what it is? Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them, suffering them not to speak. For they knew that he was Christ. They said, the devil doesn't mention Christ. Who told you? Look at it here. They fake, pretending to be, they preach like you. Sing, do everything. Acts 16:17. The same followed Paul and us, cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us unto us the way of salvation. Is it not what Paul was saying? Was it? And she did she many days, but Paul being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And came out some hour. People who don't have discerning ability, we go and embrace her and say, sister, sis mio. Ah, sister, welcome, sister. We're in fellowship. Paul discerned that this demon's talking. That is Satan talking. It's deceitful spirit. Saying the same things you say in church. Seeing the same things you sing in church. Because deceit is deceit. Deceit has to look like real. The Bible says even the elect will be deceived. Even it's so much that even the elect, even now it's happening. What I'm seeing happening now is shocking to me. Even now, people you think are mature are babies. They are being deceived. Even now as I'm talking to you. Number two is let us know that I and you, we can yield to the devil without knowing. Just the same way as we can yield to our flesh. I'm not talking of that you are possessed. I'm talking of you can yield to devils, motivate what you say, motivate what you do. We must be careful in this last days. We must be very, very careful. Extremely careful. Look at Peter. Matthew 16:16. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now Peter is speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now look at the same Peter in Matthew 16:23. We haven't gone to, we read this one in verse 16. Please go to verse 23. We haven't gone far. Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap for me. You are seeing things merely from human point of view, not from God." This is Peter few minutes ago, yielded to the Holy Spirit. The same Peter few minutes later, yielded to Satan. A Christian can do that without knowing. You can be pastor, bishop, whatever you are. You can do that without knowing. You can yield to the Holy Spirit and be used of God, mighty, 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 mighty. But you also can yield to Satan without knowing. I'm not saying you are possessed. You can. Therefore, we need to, brethren, take heed unto ourselves. It is important that we take heed unto ourselves. We must take heed unto ourselves, so that you begin to watch out for compulsive behaviors that you have acquired. Behaviors that overtake you, can't control them. Demonic. Sorry, but it's true. Compulsive behavior. The way you talk, the thing comes on you like this, takes you over. You don't even remember you're a Christian again. Compulsive anger, compulsive behaviors. Compulsive passions. That is out of no moderation. There's no moderation in this. It's gone way. It's crossed the red line. Compulsive passion. 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed unto yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Acts 5:3. Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself?" John 13:2. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. This is a man who had Jesus preach. These are members of church, Ananias and Sapphira. Satan filled their heart to come and be lying in church. Brethren, we must be very, very careful. Look at the Galatian church. Galatians 3:1. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you? Paul said this has to be demonic activity. For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made so clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. Now look at the same people in Galatians 4:15. After the demonic blinding, the devil blinded them. Look at the same people, Galatians 4:15. Where is that joyful and grateful spirit you felt then? I'm sure you would have taken out your own eyes and given them to me if it had been possible. 16. Have I now become your enemy because I'm telling you the truth? Brother, it's happening today. They were excited before. Excited. Totally excited. But demonic blinding has come. They have been deceived gradually. They are yielding to demonic passions, compulsive things. Interest is changing. Now church is drag. Now the same pastor they used to be excited about is now an enemy. They don't want to see him. They come to church, it bores them. But we live in the last days. That's why I'm sounding this warning. I'm telling you the truth. We must take care unto ourselves so that we don't become people that the devil is using even to do false manifestations and false gifts of the Spirit. We must be careful. So don't go giving people prophecy all over the place. You pay great price for these things. Must be very, very careful. Now, we need to do these things that the Scripture tells us. We need to prove all things, regardless of who. Bring out your Bible and check it out. If it is not in line with Bible, throw it out. Whatever manifestation it is, if it contradicts Bible, throw it away. I don't care who that person is. It can be me, it can be anybody. Throw it away. Number two, if anybody is telling you a message that you do not already have in your spirit, throw it away. Put it in the garbage. You don't already have it in your spirit, just throw it away. God will first talk to you, because God is no respecter of persons. You're as much as God's child as anybody is. No father discriminates. God does not discriminate in his family. He will talk to you. But if you are not getting it, if you are not understanding, they will use somebody else to try to help you. And you're going to, oh, this is coming to my mind. Oh, wow, so it's God now. But if you don't have any, it's not coming to you. Somebody's giving you these things. Throw into the garbage, go your way. It's not God. Because the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. So God will lead you. It's the right of every child of God to be led by the Holy Spirit. God will lead you. You are not counted out. He will lead you. He will talk to you. He will help you. So if it's not already in your spirit, throw it away. But again, this is not the same with being taught the word. You can be taught the word in what you don't know. Because teaching, learning is about learning what you don't know. You can be taught the word in what you don't know. You can be taught the word, so revelations will come your way. But the person teaching you is not giving you, he's not doing all this prophecy and things, you know, what, you know, he's not. He's teaching you the word. And it has to be from Bible. If he's not teaching you strictly from Bible, throw it away. The only thing God gave us for instruction in righteousness, for doctrine, for correction, admonition, is the scripture. Anybody teaching you outside the scripture, throw it away. Don't take it. Do like Bereans. Bereans, Paul, of all people, after preaching, they went to check him out. This thing is preaching. Is it in the Bible? You must do it. You owe it to yourself. We live in the last days. There's so much deceit going on. There's so much wrong doctrine going on. So if we do this, it will help us. It will really, really help us. We'll be able to stand and walk in the safe way when it comes to manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Now, there are ways to know whether this is God or whether this is not God, but my time is almost up, so I will not be able to go through that. But on Thursday, I think I will begin to teach us that. But let me mention this. One of the major reasons that we do not see the manifestation of the glory of God in our meetings, in our lives, is because we don't honor God. We don't honor God. 1 Samuel 2:30. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord said, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. That's why we don't see a lot of manifestations of the Holy Spirit and the glory of God like this. Even in the Old Testament, they had more than we're having. It's because we don't honor and respect God. We don't honor His word. We don't honor His word. We don't. If we give it the honor it deserves, God will manifest more among us. On Thursday, I will start from here and then go further, and then from there, I will begin to go into the manifestations itself. I'm just laying foundation and then the introduction to the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Precious Father, we just want to thank you again for the word you brought our way to get us ready so that when we study the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, we will understand it and we'll be able to distinguish the deceit of the devil from what the Holy Spirit is doing. Thank you for this hour. Thank you for everything you taught us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you have any questions on any of our teachings, kindly email your questions to pro@ftlw.org. You can also log on to our website, look for the chat icon at the bottom right of our website, click and post any questions on our teachings that you may have, and they will be addressed at the earliest opportunity. Please note that only questions on our teachings can be submitted, and names are not required.
On behalf of the Fountain of the Living Word Church, thank you and enjoy the rest of your week.
Now I want to pray over you. I want to bless you. And I want you to please be serious about this. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's share surely now. Surely, his goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen.